Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, an early Saturday, and we'll be back to regularly scheduled next week, 6:30 here on the West Coast, 9:30 in Pittsburgh, 8:30 in Chicago. It is Doc Talk Podcast, hosted by the doctor, Greg Roscoe, live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, out here in Los Angeles, playing a little co-host with him and producing, 347-205-9631. This show goes by quick, so you can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more him, less of me, let me lay the red carpet, put the podium in place, hand off the mic. Doc, first of all, how are you from Pittsburgh? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, we start with a great topic, hoarseness, and what is aspiration?
Thank you very much, Mark, for the beautiful intro. Things in Pittsburgh are great, Mark. I'm doing well. You know, we're kind of getting into the summer flow here. It's going to be a beautiful 70 degrees today in Pittsburgh. We have the Pittsburgh Marathon today, too, by the way. So a lot of good things going on here. Yeah. Hey, Mark, beautiful part of the country. You know that. It's just beautiful.
I always say being from there, I call it God's country, so I got to watch it with the people out here. But it definitely is. And, man, I am so blessed to do this show each and every week with you.
Well, again, thank you, as always, for Mancini Media and the opportunity. Mark, if people can get a hold of me, Facebook, it's Doc Talk on Facebook, or they can get me at doctalk.com. You know, today's topics, Mark, I have two that I thought were interesting. We've been seeing a lot of these type people in the office, and the symptom they're coming in with is hoarseness. And, you know, and I picked up a second symptom I wanted to talk about, if we have time on the show today, and that's aspiration. You know, the vocal cords are an anatomical structure that sits right below the tongue and right above the trachea. And, you know, the vocal cords themselves are just two little pieces of tissue in a V-shaped structure that actually open and close. Leading to aspiration is when these vocal cords don't open and close properly. They don't protect the airway. And we see some of our patients with coughing, not choking, but coughing. And there's a variety of symptoms that they've got to be very careful about when they're eating. But back to our hoarseness. You know, hoarseness is one of those symptoms, again, that there are about 12 million visits a year to family doctors for that diagnosis. So that is kind of one of these popular things that family doctors see, and then we get referrals to the otolaryngologist. And in my practice in particular, I probably see about 12 to 15 hoarsenesses per week. And, you know, we talk about, you know, as we always say, let's go to basics. You know, we talk about hoarseness where, you know, it's difficult in making sounds. The voice itself, Mark, can be weak or very breathy. It can be raspy. It can be husky. You know, the volume can change. It can be weak. And these are things that go on when there is some type of a damage to this structure, which are the vocal cords. Another name in the literature, if our listeners want to look it up, they call them vocal folds, F-O-L-D-S. But basically, they're vocal cords. Causes, you know, of this symptom can go from a laryngitis, which is an inflammation or swelling of the vocal cords, from an upper respiratory infection. Interestingly, vocal abuse, you know, cheerleaders, or if we have someone at a ball game, you know, really getting excited, strong phonation can lead to hoarseness. again, under the category of vocal abuse. Also, symptom for next week we talk about is GERD, gastroesophageal reflux. Mark, in people that have difficulties with their stomach and they leak acid up into the esophagus, it can also burn the vocal cords, leading to hoarseness. Vocal cord nodules, polyps, also vocal cord hemorrhage. You know, if indeed for some reason one were to scream or they had some type of an emergency, they were really very, very reactive, the vocal cords can actually hit very hard together and bleed, leading to a hoarse situation. And again, Mark, just a couple more, you know, causes of hoarseness is one that really is a more dangerous symptom, and that's vocal cord paralysis, where one, if not both vocal cords, do not open and close the way that they should. And that leads, of course, to a breathy voice, but also leads to aspiration. The last and final area of causes is vocal cord cancer or cancer of the voice box. So, you know, very, very serious one as well. So that's how I'd like to kick this off today, Mark, if, you know, you go along with that, or listeners are listening to that.
Well, we got Ann from Duluth, Minnesota chiming in. We got Janice, a regular. We got Jack now coming in from Marlboro, Mass, and he's basically saying, talking about the hoarseness, you see this with singers a lot. They got to take breaks because when you use your voice a lot, you get that hoarseness. And I know you and I were talking about polyps, you know, when you do radio a lot, and you and I were talking about if I get back to Pittsburgh here sometime this year to check it, I mean, what causes that? And sometimes we don't even think that. We think if we talk a lot, you know, and to answer Jack's question out there in Massachusetts, we think, okay, well, you know, it's getting a little hoarse. We'll rest it a day, and then we'll get it back. But the polyps and stuff like that is some serious stuff that we never really understand until we have an expert like you break it down for us.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, you're correct. With regard to, you know, people that use their voice a lot, the radio industry, you as announcing, you know, different sports events, it's an ongoing type function of your voice box every day. Singers, all right, they fall into the category as well with vocal abuse. And realize the vocal cords need to hit together or touch every time that we speak. And, you know, in a state of rest where we're just kind of relaxing, the vocal cords themselves aren't touching. The voice box is like an open structure. Once we go to speak, the vocal cords kind of snap together and then start to touch to help articulate the air. And, you know, we talk about speaking, realize that air from the lungs feeds up through the voice box. And then, of course, as the vocal cords work and articulate the sound, then the sound would come out our nose, our mouth. And again, depending, of course, on our age, our size, the size of our head, the size of our nose, you get a different resonance. And that, of course, has to do with the quality of the voice. And, you know, with regard to we particular situation, as far as nodules or polyps or cysts, you know, what this is, and again, in general, it's like a little callus that one might get on their toe. We get a callus on the edge of the vocal cord. Instead of the cord being nice and smooth and not inflamed, we have a bump or a lump. So that when the vocal cords touch together, they don't articulate as smoothly, and that changes the characteristic of our speech. And again, we'll go into some therapy, but overall, with a lot of these things, Mark, as we've talked, it's cause and effect. All right?
Wow.
The cause being vocal abuse, the hollering, the screaming, you know, ongoing overuse tends to give us a problem with this really a beautiful, finely instrumented organ being our voice box.
Wow, amazing. Brad from Pensacola, Florida, chiming in, listening live. He says, guys, early rise on the West for you, Mark, and nice show as always. Love this great show on the network. And he basically says about the polyps and everything, if it's not treated and you're not aware of that, what are the downside effects of that? Ooh, man, that's a great question.
That's a great question. And, you know, with any problem that our body has, you know, our body is great with restoring health to it and maintaining our health. In a situation where, if I can use the word, a callus on the edge of the vocal cord, it doesn't go away. The body's not able to resolve it or dissolve it. And, Mark, that's an indication. Again, I use the word cause and effect. If one is developing a callus, a nodule, a polyp on the voice box, there's something abnormal about their speech patterns. So that overall, they're either talking too much, too strongly, hollering, but they're abusing this organ. And this organ doesn't like to be abused. So that longer term, these nodules can develop not to cancer so much, and we can talk about cancer, but indeed it's vocal abuse. It's swelling and irritation. And then, Mark, as these nodules get scarred and get hard, it damages the muscles of the voice box. So that overall, cause and effect, what are we doing that's causing our voice box to be abused and then reacting in this manner? You know, if one indeed on top of this is a smoker, a chewer, a vapor, you know, works around toxic chemicals, it's possible then, Mark, with these nodules, they can develop into a laryngeal cancer. So that long term, it needs to be taken care of. And, you know, having said that, and I can talk about a little therapy here. Overall, it may be, of course, good to start with the family doctor or the provider. Let's always start at the base.
Right.
You know, there may be a referral then to the otolaryngologist or the ENT doctor. Now, what that doc will do, he'll usually take a look at your vocal cords, and they do that with a flexible fiber optic scope. And it's like a camera on a hose that they would put in through the nose or through the mouth. And this thing is very small. It's probably 4 or 5 millimeters at most. Very flexible, slippery, that slides in. And that's where your otolaryngologist can look directly at the vocal cord, at the voice box, at the tissues around that area. That's how the diagnosis can be made in the office. You know, he can see the nodule. He can see the inflammation. He can see if there's something unusual. You know, otherwise, he could see something maybe stuck, you know, between the vocal cords. That's the way you diagnose it. That's usually an office procedure, but that gives our practitioners an awful lot of information, Mark. And then from there, if I can continue just a little bit on therapy,
yes,
may be necessary. If indeed it looks as though there is something growing there or something abnormal, it may require an outpatient trip to the operating room where your otolaryngologist would go ahead, look down there using a laser, using micro forceps, using a microscope, very sophisticated equipment, and removing that nodule. And that's kind of, you know, the strategy. But again, once we have this cause and effect, the earlier we catch it, the better. If it is an early symptom, we just may need speech therapy. We may need to see a speech language pathologist to help us change our vocal habits, Mark. And, you know, at times we develop habits where we just forcibly squeeze our vocal cords together and don't do a lot of better breathing. And that's the secret here that speech therapists, speech pathologists would help with, improving our breathing when we're speaking. And it goes on from there, Mark. I hope I've answered the question.
Yeah, definitely. We got Cam from Goodyear, Arizona, basically saying, so if, when you're talking about singers and some people that use their voice a lot, how do they basically get through the thing? And that's a good, this is another good question from Cam, the follow-up on Brad and all these other great listeners across the country. What do they have voice coaches? Do they just use Sucrets? What would they do if they're doing concerts on an everyday basis, or, you know, how they travel? How do they get through that where they're kind of resting their voice?
Yes, sir. Again, a very good question. And, Mark, you know, some of the things we've talked about before apply here as well. And, Mark, I use the word, you know, respecting our bodies and maintenance. When we talk about singers, Celine Dion, all right, the travel that are at Las Vegas, you know, overall, the first thing, you know, that she does, she's well hydrated. She drinks a lot of fluid. Typically, she drinks flavored water. All right? Water is so important to the hydration of our throat, and we call it aerodigestive tract. It keeps these tissues moist. And, Mark, you know, when we're talking about singing and speaking, the tissues in our throat move a lot. The more that they're lubricated, the less friction, the less resistance, the less inflammation. So one thing is hydration. You know, the other thing, and we all know, let's not irritate our throat with smoking. All right? That's a no-no. And again, causes an awful lot of inflammation in this tissue that's working so hard for us. Also, you know, warming up. Celine Dion warms up before she goes out and sings. And I know, you know, a lot of singers do that. They need to warm up. It's a muscle. Let's start with either scales, very quiet scales, Mark, and then they increase in what they're doing. But it's warming up, hydration. And then, of course, the other thing that a lot of singers demand, Mark, is humidity in when they're in the recording studios. The studios need to be moist. They can't be dry. So those are some of the things that I know about Celine Dion and her voice. You know, she rests it, but also hydrates it. She warms up. And then again, it's in a humidified area where she does a lot of work when she's recording.
Very, very nice across the thing.
Interesting.
Oh, that
yeah, you know,
that definitely does. And here's another one. God, we're getting so many good questions from people that are chiming in. Alan from Corvallis, Oregon says, what's the difference between polyps and maybe not even having your tonsils out? Could that be a problem with swallowing? I'm trying to keep up with all these great questions. Alan from Corvallis, Oregon, my friend.
Sure. You know, now when we're talking about, you know, overall, the way we're pronouncing that on the East Coast here, Mark, we use the word polyps. All right. And again, it's, you know, these are nodules or little cysts on the edge of the vocal cords. Now, tonsils are a little bit of a different anatomical zone. You know, tonsils are right by the base of our tongue in our mouth. So that overall, there's not a lot of correlation with, say, bad tonsils and hoarseness, unless one has a lot of infection in the tonsils causing a lot of drippage or mucus laying on the voice box. But again, any disease in that airway, which isn't healthy, causes inflammation in our, again, aerodigestive tract. And when we have inflammation, it changes the function. Hopefully, I've addressed that answer, Mark, and question.
Right. And then to finish that whole thing and with the hoarseness, and sometimes, like, I'll get, you know, flack with my voice you know, the raspiness and everything and stuff like that, you know, you kind of wonder, well, God, how come my voice is different than somebody else's voice? Because it sounds like a lot of people say, you know, Mancini must smoke a lot of cigarettes or he must have smoked a lot when he was younger, but I never got into that. So what causes the raspiness of a voice that sticks with you? It's a unique thing to have. It's a blessing. But what causes that raspness with some people?
No, very good question. And, you know, Mark, we talk about the quality of one's voice. Well, Mark, it's basics. Let's go back to the basic anatomy. You know, with a woman, their vocal cords are very thin, and they're actually a very tight muscle because of the pitch that they can hit. Men's vocal cords, I'll use the word, are a little bit fatter. They're a little bit thicker, and they tend to be a little bit saggier. So that, therefore, because of that basic anatomy, you get a difference in pitch and tone. Having, you know, your voice, which is a good, strong voice, it is a little raspy. It could be that maybe you have developed polyps or little nodules on your vocal cords over the years because of your profession. And maybe as a young man, I don't know if you were a singer, but possibly there may have been some vocal abuse in your past history that maybe led the vocal cords to be thicker and maybe just a little bit saggier, giving you that very unique voice that you have.
Right. And then polyps, when you remove polyps or you have to watch that, what is that? Is that almost like, you know, because now we're getting questions, polyps and tonsils to follow up the other guy out of Oregon. Is it the same kind of procedure to remove that or to kind of, you know, treat that?
Sure. Mark, when we do work on the voice box, let me deal with that. You know, it is usually an outpatient procedure. It is a procedure one is put to sleep for with anesthesia. It is a procedure, Mark, that we do it through the oral cavity or through the mouth so that we can look directly at this anatomical structure. And, Mark, the equipment is very sophisticated that we use. With regard to the scopes, we also use a microscope, Mark, magnify, and for us to see very well. We also use a laser on the vocal cords, taking off polyps. Or another term for that is vocal cord stripping. But it is very specific equipment. And, Mark, you know, as far as having something done like that, you know, it's a very quick procedure. It's less than 15 minutes. To do some work on the voice box, typically. Now, reciprocally, if we're talking about tonsils are another procedure. It's done most times as an outpatient. The patient, of course, is put to sleep. And again, today we can use a laser, a gamma knife, their plasma knife. There's a variety of other techniques today. But tonsils are where we go in and actually remove this mass of lymphoid tissue on the sides of the throat. Typically, there are two tonsils that we take out at the same time. Mark, so it's a little bit of a different anatomical area that we're operating on, a little bit distant from the voice box. Hopefully
very,
I'm answering
very
that
nice.
Question.
Yeah, and you really did. And basically, as we get Karen coming in here from Bellingham, Washington, basically says, is if you don't have your tonsils taken out, how do you know when you need to have your tonsils taken out at a later stage in life? Great question. With under 5 minutes left in this great show, if you want to answer that quick one, and then we'll do a recap and a preview.
Surely. I'd be glad to answer it. Again, a very good question. With regard to adults that need their tonsils out, typically they need to show signs of disease. Either they have pus on them, They get full of food and debris. There's the sore throat. There's a mild temperature. There's swollen lymph glands, difficulty swallowing. When an adult has a problem with it, you know it. It's not something that's hidden. One of the main symptoms that people will come in with is bad breath. And we see that very, very frequently, that we have people that, you know, again, beautiful teeth, no periodontal disease, no gingivitis. Wait. Their teeth are all right, very healthy. Mark, they don't have any stomach problems. You know, sometimes with GERD or with reflux, there may be an odor that one has. But typically, these people have a foul odor. It's consistent. You know, they even say they've been to the hygienist. They floss. They gargle. But overall, it's the fact that the tonsils are actually maybe starting to rot or degenerate a little bit. And it's like having a garbage can in the back of the throat. So you may not have all the symptoms of a youngster that would come in with a high temperature, swollen glands, pus on the tonsils. It's a different symptom complex. But indeed, Mark, there are indications to remove adult tonsils. And Mark, today we still do that, not at the rate that we would do for youngsters, but there's still a need to take out adult tonsils.
And when you look at the tonsil, just to put a finishing touch on this, how big is this thing in diameter? I mean, you know, you see things, you hear things, and is it something that it's wider? I mean, when you look at it, because
no,
you know,
sure. Mark, you know, with regard to looking at the tonsils, it can range from, if we would use marbles, you know, as a standard here. You know, a regular-sized marble is typically what adult tonsillectomies, adult tonsils shrink to. Children, it's more of the large marble or the shooter, if you know what I'm talking about. You know how we used to play marbles? You had the large shooters? That's usually what a pediatric tonsil looks like. An adult tonsil is more the size of a regular marble. That's how basically, you know, it kind of plays out. Now, there are circumstances, Mark, you know, nothing is always the same or standardized. Mark, I have people come in, we do see tonsillar cancer, and, you know, these tonsils, especially unilateral, can be very large, as large as maybe even a plum in the back of their throat. So, you know, it's not that one size fits all. It depends on the history. But indeed, you know, taking care of your body, but also the maintenance, having your provider once a year, once every 6 months, taking a look in your mouth, seeing what the tissues look like. That's the best prevention.
Okay, as we finish and touch on this, less than 2 minutes, and then the preview next week, regular scheduled time, in about 30 seconds, tell us about, you know, to put the final touch on this great topic today, and we'll talk about what next week's going to be about dysthesia and GERD.
Sure. Well, thank you for the opportunity. In wrapping up today, hoarseness, you know, it is a common symptom that's being seen. And I mentioned 10 to 12 million visits a year carry that diagnosis. One point that I'd like to really take home: if one is hoarse, raspy, the voice has changed, and we're going into a period, 14 to 21 days worth of this, it's a good policy to get checked. You know, if it's a day or two, you have a cold and the voice is a little hoarse, that's one thing. But indeed, without a lot of symptoms, if the voice is hoarse, raspy, breathy, again, for 14 to 21 days, I recommend you seeing your provider. We want to make sure that if something's there, it's taken care of early. That would be the take-home point today, Mark, that I'd like to finish up with.
Great thing. And next week, dysthesia and GERD, that's going to be a great topic to talk about. And how can people get a hold of you, my good friend?
It can be DocTalk at Facebook or DocTalk1 at Outlook.com. So I'd like to thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for my listeners.
It's great. That's Dr. Greg Roscoe live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, out here in Los Angeles, back to regular scheduled time next Saturday, 8 o'clock on the West Coast, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Catch this archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to Powered Now by Mancini Media. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed morning and a safe weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.